Hey, we have two scriptures today, and the first one is not in your bulletin, but it is a story that's going to be familiar to some of the kids, and we're going to help in the telling of it with Mr. John, who many of you children know was stranded on a desert island for how many years?
551.
551 years.
Days.
Years. That would be a lot, wouldn't it? He's back. So let's turn your attention to this story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep.
Oh, come on, keep up, Mommy. Bartholomew, you're falling behind. Lambert, stay away from Ewan. Bartholomew, what do you have? Do you have a rock in your foot? Here, let me take care of you. You know what? This looks like a good spot to stay tonight. Now, let me just make sure I have all of you. 1, 2, skip a few, 99. Where is Bartholomew? All of you are safe here. I have to go find Bartholomew. Are you over here? Where are you? Oh, my, where are you? There you are. Here you are. Bartholomew, come. We need to go back to the flock. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy. I have found my lost sheep. Let's all rejoice that our sheep that was lost is now found.
Hooray! So before I read the second scripture, John was here all week. He's from Texas, right? But he is here for the rest of the summer, right? And he was great. He brought, that's just a little tiny piece of what he brought all during the week, and it's going to be a great summer with him. I am going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and both of these scriptures are going to be a part of the message today. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, it is good to be here today. It is wonderful to be here and to hear your story and to be reminded that there are so many stories in our scriptures that remind us that Jesus rescues and that God loves us. And so I pray now for your words during this time of message that you would be present and take them, because without you there is nothing, but with you there is everything. And so we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So it's been a week, and this is our last Sunday in this sermon series called Story. We're going to do a little bit more with stories later on because all of our stories are important. But today, we are talking about God's story. And the boys and girls that were here this week learned a lot about God's story. I was thinking through some of my favorite books over the years, and I've kind of been compiling them. But one of the recent books that I've really discovered is an excellent book is this book. It is called Follow the Drinking Gourd. If you are a kid that's in elementary school, you probably have read this book. It came out a few years ago. It's the story of the Underground Railroad. And you know the Underground Railroad is the story of how slaves escaped from slavery into freedom. And do you know who was the number one, the most famous conductor of the Underground Railroad? Does anybody know who that was? Say it right out loud. Harriet Tubman, yes, thank you. This is a picture of Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman has a story, an important story to know. She was born into slavery. That's all she ever knew. Her parents were slaves, her brothers and sisters were slaves, all of her extended family were slaves. She didn't know anything but slavery, and that's what she was born into. When she was a little girl, three of her sisters were sold to another plantation far away, and she didn't see them again. And as you can imagine, that scarred her heart. That caused her a lot of pain. She grew up doing whatever the whim of the master told her to do. And it was bad. She was beaten. She was hurt a lot. She lived a really hard life. And that was the story that she knew. And then when she was a young adult, she said, I'm not doing this anymore. So she escaped. And she made her way from where she lived in Maryland to Pennsylvania, which doesn't sound like that far today, but we have cars. She had to escape through the Underground Railroad, and she gets to Pennsylvania, which was a free state. And she crossed the line into Pennsylvania, and when she literally moved from this state into Pennsylvania, she was free. And she writes this about that experience. She says, when I found I had crossed the line, that line from into Pennsylvania, I looked at my hands. Boys and girls, look at your hands. She looked at them because she was in this new state, and she said, are they different? She wanted to know if her hands changed when she crossed that line into the state, because she said, I felt different, but I was still the same person, but there was a glory over everything, and it felt like heaven. Glory over everything. Boys and girls, can you say glory over everything? Glory over everything. And it felt so good to her, and that's what freedom feels like. That's what freedom feels like. It's new. It's a rebirth. She was the same person, and yet she was different because she was free. She was safe in this new place, right? And you would think because she was safe, she would just stay there and live out her life in safety because she had a hard life. But she didn't do it. Because she knew other people had a story like hers. She knew that her family and her friends and people she didn't even know were still back in slavery. They were in bondage. And so Harriet Tubman went back to the South again and again. She went back. She risked her own life. She sacrificed so much to guide person after person, group after group, to freedom. She knew what it was to be a slave, and she knew what it was to be free, and she wanted to help other people find the freedom that she knew could be theirs. It's an amazing story, and you all should know it. You all should just be able to tell it. What's so interesting, I think, about this story is that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, which is the one I read that sounded a little more confusing than the sheep did, I read this letter to the Hebrews. The author of that letter understood that it was important for people to know that Jesus was someone who sacrificed his life in order to help people make their way to freedom. It's a very similar story. Harriet Tubman helped people move from slavery to a master into the freedom of living with glory over everything. Jesus helped people move from slavery, not to a plantation master, but slavery to fear, slavery to worry, slavery to things that we do wrong. Jesus knew that if we could find freedom from those things, we would have glory over everything. And the author of the book of Hebrews knew that. And so the way that he told the Hebrew people at that time was to retell God's story. It's a terribly important story, and we all need to hear it over and over again. Here's what's happening at the time. The Hebrews at the time, when this letter was written to the Hebrews at the time were in the early church, and it used to be that it was not comfortable being in the early church. You had to be brave to believe in Jesus because people might not be nice to you on the street, but now it was different. Now you were in real danger. It was risky to believe in Jesus at this point in time. There was persecution going on in the church, and so they were afraid. They were slaves to worry and fear and anxiety, and the author is saying, hey, Jesus is going to take you from slavery into freedom, so stick with him. You've got to stay and believe him, and he does it by retelling God's story. He takes the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, all of Christ's story, and condenses it in a very short time frame. You should read the entire book of Hebrews. It doesn't take long. That's what we've doing with your kids this week in Vacation Bible School. All of the kids here, and listen, I say your kids, because some of you are parents of these children, and they're your kids. Some of you don't have children, but they're your kids. it is so important that all of us commit to telling our kids the story. So the rest of the time when I'm talking and I say your kids, they're yours, and they're yours, and they're yours. Even if you're at home in another state, they are all of our kids, because it's important to tell that story. And so we did that over and over this week. Here's what we taught them. You heard the 99 sheep, right? We taught them the story of the 99 sheep. One gets lost. And the whole point of that story is, what's going to happen? Do you think that the shepherd's going to go get the one? Or is the shepherd going to stay with the 99? Because the 99 are where they're supposed to be. The 99 are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And this one sheep, maybe he didn't do what he was supposed to do when he got lost. And so you follow this story, and then there comes this, the turning point of the story is when the shepherd says, I'm going to go find the sheep. And the shepherd goes off, and he finds the one sheep, and you saw what John did. They're all together again, and the 99 sheep now know that if they get lost, someone will find them. And the one sheep knows if he gets lost again, someone will find him. And we all need to know that story. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. Sometimes we're the lost sheep, and we need to be found. I was in vacation Bible school this week, and a 5-year-old was holding my hand. We were walking from somewhere to downstairs, and we had to go down the stairs out there. And he's holding my hand very tightly, which was fine, but we get to the door, and I have to hold the door open. And I try to get my hand out, and it was like crazy glue. I could not, like, I'm pulling, and he is holding on tight to this. And I looked at him, and I could tell he was a little bit anxious, and I said, I need my hand. And he said, no. And I saw that he was a little frightened, so I get down like this, because that's what you do with kids, right? And if you are at this level, and they're all at this level, there were yellow shirts everywhere. And there were 330 children here, and it was crazy. And he was afraid, and I said, hey, what's wrong? And he said this, I wrote it down. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to get lost and not be found. We've all felt like that sometime. I'm afraid I'm going to get lost and not be found. And I was able to say to him, hey, you remember the Bible point for today? Jesus rescues when we're lost. Jesus rescues. And it helped him a little bit. Like, he's 5. That's not going to... He was still a little anxious, but he could let go of my hand and he stood beside me because he's learning the story. It's the nature of the gospel that we need to hear the stories over and over again. We talked about the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son? One son's like, I know everything. Give me my money, Dad, and I am out of here. And the father says, okay, you can take it. So he takes his money, and he takes it, and he goes out into the world, and he does things that we don't want him to do. Like, as parents, you're like, oh, don't do that, don't do that. But he does it, and he does it, and he does it. And he gets in trouble. And the dad is still at home, and what do you think the dad is doing? He's worrying. He's anxious. But this boy, he doesn't care yet. And he's out here in the world, and he spends all of his money. And then he has no money, and he's lost. And he finds himself eating with pigs. Pigs. He is literally in a pig pen eating swill, corn husks. If you've never seen a pig be fed, you can go to Frying Pan Park. They feed pigs. It is not pretty. The pigs like it. But the young man said, what am I doing? I want to go home. And he doesn't think he's going to be welcomed at home because what's he done? He spent all his money. He has no money left. But he says it's better to go home than stay here. And so he starts walking back home. And from a long way off, his dad, I picture him up on a hill, and he's looking because he wants his son to come home. And he sees him from a long way off, and he holds out his arms, and he welcomes him home. Jesus rescues when we're lost. Jesus prepares a banquet for us. It doesn't matter what we've done or where we've been, even if we've been eating with pigs, Jesus welcomes us home. He rescues us. And then there's one more story that they told more stories, but one more that I want to tell you about. It's the story of Mary and Martha. You remember Mary and Martha were sisters, and they were welcoming Jesus into their home, and Mary and Martha were getting ready. And Martha was a worrier. Martha was like, it's got to be perfect. We've got to get everything right. The table needs to be right. The food needs to be right. We need to do all this right. And Mary was like, yeah, like that's important, but Jesus is coming, and he's a friend. And so Jesus comes and sits down, and they start, Mary and Jesus talk. And Mary listens to Jesus, and she sits at his feet. And Martha is over here, and she's a little frustrated with Mary. Because she says, she's not doing anything. She is sitting there talking to Jesus, and I'm here working my tail off, making sure everything's right, and I'm getting really frustrated that Jesus isn't doing anything about this. So she does what all of us do from time to time. She goes over and she says, hey, Jesus, do you not care what happened to me? Do you not care that I'm working and Mary is just sitting there? And Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, it's okay to sit and relax and enjoy. You see, Jesus rescues even when we worry. And your kids are growing up in Northern Virginia. I think it's a great place. We chose to live here. But the anxiety and the worry that is placed on people from a very young age in this area is great. And it only gets greater as they go through school. They need to know the story that Jesus rescues when we worry. The stories that we teach them are so important. I want to show you a picture of a young woman named Jessie. This is Jessie. Jessie Taylor grew up in this church most of her life. She went to Vacation Bible School when she was a little kid, and I watched her this week. She was in my grandson Benjamin's class. She was one of his teachers, and so I got to watch the interaction. She was amazing. Like, she has a gift with children, and she was using it. And so I said, Jessie, why are you choosing to be here for a week out of your summer? She's going to be, I believe, a sophomore in high school. You're here for a week with these kids. And she said, I love it. And I actually wrote down what she said. She said, I grew up in this church. I went to preschool here. I met my best friend here. I love Sunday school here because it was so much fun. And because every time I came, the teachers really liked me. They made it fun. Raise your hand if you've been a Sunday school teacher ever. You did a good job. Jessie liked Sunday school. They taught me Bible schools and Bible stories and songs. I don't think I really understood who God was, but I knew that God loved me. And then she went to middle school, and in middle school, she said, I began to understand who God was. I knew God loved me when I was little, but then I got to middle school, and I understood that God was more. I understood that I'll make mistakes, and I know that not everything will work out the way I want. But I'm okay. She knows that Jesus rescues. And she said, I want the kids I teach to begin to learn that too. That's why she's at Vacation Bible School. That's the kind of people that you have in your church teaching children God's story. Here's what she learned. She learned that God loves you. She learned that God wants to know you. She learned that God will rescue you, and that's why we think Vacation Bible School is so important. That's why we want you to invest in people's lives, in children's lives, in students' lives. That's why we want everybody to invest. I want to share a statistic with you. You heard that we had 132 volunteers at Vacation Bible School. Many of you are here today. Here's what I want to tell you. 51 of the adults that volunteered, that's about half of them, did not have children in the program. Do you know what that means? That means your church understands the importance of teaching children God's story. That means moms and dads took off of work. That means people who aren't moms and dads took off of work to be here every day this week so that they could teach children God's story. The world is tough. It's a tough week this week. I had a difficult week. I remember I watched the news this week, and I was so sad, and I felt hopeless. And then I remembered that Jesus rescues. And I remembered that I have agency. I can do things. Jesus cares for the vulnerable, so I called my representatives. I called my political officials, and I said, I am concerned about what's going on. Can you tell me what you're doing about it? And that doesn't matter where you are on anything. You have agency because we are Christians who exercise agency for the vulnerable. And you can do that. And it made me remember, I know God's story, and that gives me power. I told you that my grandsons came to camp this week. I think it's one of the most important things they will do this summer. They brought their coins, they had snacks, they made crafts, they sang songs. It was great. But you know what was most important? Over and over and over again, they heard adults tell them that Jesus rescues, that God is with them when they worry, when they do wrong, when they're anxious, when they're lost. That's why we tell the story. And that's why we want you to teach Vacation Bible School every summer. That's why we need you in Kid Nation all during the year. You make a difference in children's lives. And if they don't hear the story, they're going to learn another story. And that worries me. Because there are hard stories and bad stories out there. But if they know that God rescues and Jesus saves, they have a foundation. And when they grow up, they'll be able to lean on it. In your bulletin, there is another handout. And it looks like this. Because there are three things that I want you to think about from today. Some of you don't know God's story. Some of you have come and somebody brought you to church today, or you decided to walk in the door, or you joined us online, and you're like, that's really interesting, but I don't know anything about it. So what I want you to do is to take your bulletin, tear off that participation form, write your name and phone number, and say, I want to know more. If you're online, you can type that to Reverend Ashley, and she'll help you. I want to know more, and I want you to give it to me, or to Jake, or to somebody at the welcome desk, and we will call you this week and get you connected with God's story. So I want you to learn God's story, and then I want you to tell God's story, and that's what this is for. This reminds you that God loves you, God wants to know you, and God rescues you. And on the back of it is kind of a layout of God's story, which I would tell you about if I had more time, but I don't. So you're smart people, you can figure this out. Put this where you can see it, and when you're anxious about telling God's story, hold this and remember it's true. And then picture yourself a storyteller. You are the tellers of the story, just like John was this week, just like Lauren was a storyteller this week. All the teachers told God's story this week, and that is what we are called to do. So that when bad things happen and the world feels hopeless, they have something to hold on to. As they grow up, they will know who God is. And then the final thing is, I want you to tell a child or a student. I want you to make sure that you find a way to connect with children or students, either as a teacher downstairs, as a mentor for our student program. Kelly and Renee are going to be out there, our children's ministry directors. They're going to be out there with Church on the Go. They would love to talk to you. We must share God's story with the coming generation. They are the now, but they are also the future. And so my prayer for us is that we remember this, and that you can tell all the stories, and you can help people know that Jesus rescues, and they're never alone. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Holy and gracious God, it is a good day. It is a good day to tell the story. It is a good day to know the story. It is a good day to be reminded that Jesus rescues in all things. And so I pray for all of us. I pray for all the kids here. I pray for the parents. I pray for our children and our adults that we might go into the world and share the story with all that we meet. Amen.